Welcome to Communication Studio, the podcast that helps you build confidence, captivate your audience, and master every presentation, from meetings to the stage. This is Communication Studio.
Welcome back to Communication Studio with me, Mike Knott. It's episode 5. And we're here today to discuss handling the heat. What to do when you have challenging questions, an objection, an interruption, or even a tangent that somebody distracts from your content and starts talking about something else in the middle of your presentation. How to build confidence in this area, maintain control, and handle these high-pressure situations. If this is your first time listening to Communication Studio, welcome. Our previous episodes include setting the stage for the fundamentals of communication, presenting like a pro, telling a story, and speaking volumes without words, focusing on those non-verbal skills. And today we're here to discuss handling the heat. I'm sure you have experienced a time when you've been delivering a presentation or conducting a meeting and somebody is interrupted partway through and either completely thrown you off your game, or they've been focused the attention of the audience onto something else that you weren't focusing on, and you're like, hang on, can we get back to my thing, please? And what we're going to do today is go through that. But first, I wanted to discuss something that I call point in time. Your confidence, your ability to present, can sometimes be pressured by those around you. That's not necessarily their fault. It could just be circumstance, but most of the time it will be in your mind, in your head. And you know when sometimes people say, oh, it's just in your head. It's just in your head. Ignore it. You're just imagining it. That's probably the hardest thing to avoid. When it's physical and you can see something, or when it's audible or written down, you can process it and apply some logic to it. But when it's in your mind, it's much harder, isn't it? So what I wanted to talk about today first was having a point in time and understanding that your level of confidence, your ability to present versus others, is just how that is right now. All of the great speakers around the world, anybody you consider to be an amazing presenter or speaker, there's someone you might look up to. It could be a colleague, a friend, a family member, or a celebrity, or somebody that's paid to do these sorts of things, like Master of Ceremony. They all started at nothing. They all did their first presentation. And if they look back on that, they'd probably shudder and think, oh, I've come a long way since then. I know I do, for example. You know, I started presenting about 15 years ago, and I really enjoy presenting. I also like shrinking back into the shadows afterwards, but I do enjoy presenting, and I would always volunteer to do those sorts of things earlier in my career. And the audiences would be very small. We'd be talking 10 people, 15 people, but I would put myself forward for them because I enjoyed it. But it didn't mean I was good at it. It meant I wanted to be good at it. And so over time, I've built up my experience, and I'm not saying I'm any great presenter or any great speaker, but I'm certainly a lot more confident at it now. I don't feel nerves anywhere near as much as I used to feel before I speak in front of an audience. I spoke in front of an audience of about 150 people recently, and I didn't really feel nervous at all. And that's not, again, a cockiness thing or me thinking I'm arrogant and I'm amazing. It's just confidence, because I've been there, I've done it so many times, and now don't feel those nerves. And I wanted to tell a story that kind of relates to this. About 12 years ago, give or take, the company I worked for had a leak of everybody's salary and pay increase and bonus payment along with their address because a file was accidentally sent round to the entire office that shouldn't have been. Now, you can imagine this was quite a big deal at the time, caused a massive stir. Now, the company handled it well, and we got taken out for drinks that night, you know, on the company to say sorry, you know, for those who wanted to. And I was sat with my director at the time, who was a very wise man, and he said, "The thing is, Mike, everybody's salary increase bonus payment is what they're getting today. And in 12 months' time, that landscape will look completely different. Some people who got a big pay rise this year won't get one next year. Some people who are on a great trajectory and doing amazing things will get another big pay rise next year, whereas others won't. Some people are earlier in their career, some people are more established. So you can't, there's just no point in having that competition or worrying about it or analyzing who's being paid what." And I really took that to heart, and I've kept that with me ever since. You know, I don't see myself in competition with my colleagues or my friends. I see myself in competition with myself. And that applies to everything, whether it's my performance at work, my salary, and everything, you know, what I'm doing at home. It's all about me. And then my friendships are just friendships. There's no competition, you know, in the same with colleagues. I work with colleagues. I don't worry about working against them. Working against them, it just takes so much energy and you don't get any benefit from that. So when it comes to presenting, focus on yourself. Don't worry what other people do. Don't think, oh, I'll never be as good as that person. You can be the best person you are. Just practice, focus on yourself, and that confidence will come. So if you're struggling with presenting, or you feel nervous, or you feel like your voice breaks in the middle and it's really embarrassing, or your leg shakes or your hand shakes, just keep going, keep practicing. And I do urge you to practice by yourself, because it makes a massive difference. The way you speak will change when you go up on stage. So you might rehearse and you might go, okay, I'm here today and I'm going to read this document and we're going to go through it. And then you'll work through the words and you'll think, yeah, I got every word right there. That was good. I think I've memorized about 50% of it. I'll keep going. And then you get on stage and you go, okay, hi everybody, it's Mike here and I'm going to talk to you about this subject today. And you just change your voice completely and your presence, and you're stood on stage and suddenly you're stood and you're like, what do I do with these hand things I've got suddenly next to me that feel very obvious suddenly? So practice as though you're on stage. Stand up in the middle of your room. Do it when no one's at home if you need to. That's totally fine, in my opinion. You don't necessarily need to do it in front of a mirror, because you won't be seeing a mirror when you're presenting. But try to imagine you're on some sort of stage and project your voice, and it'll really help. I do that a lot, and I think it will really make a big difference. So with that said, let's move on to the rest of the podcast and let's have a look at how to handle the heat.
Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.
So, handling the heat. Somebody who interrupts you is annoying. I think that's fairly universally understood. However, there are pros and cons. There's positive times that happens and there's negative times that happens. So, I want to take this through in a constructive way. And the way I'm phrasing this is how we turn questions or interruptions into opportunities. Firstly, why questions matter. An interruption or a question when you're presenting is actually an engagement indicator. It shows they're listening, they're paying attention, and they're interested. This is the case whether they are arguing against you, or they're trying to make a point that supports you, or they are asking a question to seek clarity. So when people ask questions, it shows they're interested, even if it's difficult for you in the moment. So you should reflect and go, oh, that's a good thing. For me, I have delivered lots of demos for software in the past, and sometimes the worst ones are when there's a wall of silence. And I've said to my wife before, it feels like I'm talking to a wall, and I'm rubbish at that. I need that feedback. I hate presenting to nothing. And it was difficult when I had to record demos, because you are recording to nothing. And that was always a bit of a challenge for me at first, because I wasn't getting that feedback, you know, playing off people's expressions or nods or questions. When there's a wall of nothing, it's actually quite unnerving. So when you have questions, they are a good thing. However, they can be tough. Should you get a tough question, an objection, an interruption that you weren't planning for and, you know, you weren't expecting? Firstly, pause and reflect. Don't dive in to answer straight away. In fact, it can add a lot of credibility to you if you do this. It's a bit silly, but I had this in my career. I got asked a really tough technical question. This was just in a meeting, about four people, you know, no high pressure. I was a consultant at the time, so I was there to handle questions and find solutions. But they asked a really complicated question, and I thought, God, how would we do that? And I just paused and sort of looked up to the ceiling, just thinking, right, how would we go about that? We could use a table here. We could probably link that with a query. We could do that. And one of the people in the room said, oh, look, you can really see him thinking. This is amazing, isn't it? And I thought, oh, my God, what a stupid comment. I'm trying to come up with the answer. But actually, they were right. It made me look great that I was really considering the answer. It made it look complicated. It made it look like, you know, I was really having to apply my brain power here. And then when I came up with the answer, it looked even more impressive because I'd had to really consider the answer. It's a really silly thing, but it's just the impression it gives. So taking a moment before you answer, firstly, gives you time to think. Second, ensures you can answer clearly and with clarity. And thirdly, can make you look really credible as well, because you're really having to consider your answer. For example, you could say, that's a great question. Let me just have a think about that for a second, and then I'll you know, find the best way to answer. And you can give just a, you know, a few seconds pause and then answer. People will enjoy that. It adds engagement, adds a bit of friction to the call, a bit of pressure as well. For those listening, they're like, oh, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? A bit of suspense. Now, it could be over something really boring, so that suspense won't necessarily be very high, but still, it adds a bit of tension to the meeting and it adds a bit of interest, particularly a virtual meeting where that might be lacking. Second, you can reframe objections. So pause and reflect, and then if it's an objection, you can turn your objection into an opportunity to highlight the benefits of what you're saying. For example, here's the classic: your solution is too expensive. Who's not going to say that, firstly? Who's going to go, wow, that's cheap? I mean, if they do, great, but they are the world's worst negotiator. I heard someone say the other week, they're moaning because the price is going up at renewal. And I thought, who wouldn't moan about that? And also, what company wouldn't try to increase their prices? This is just a normal thing. Of course you would do that. So that's an objection you're always going to get. So what you can do is you can turn that around. Now, I'm going to give a sort of cheesy example here because I'm not in the weeds with whatever you're selling or working with. But, you know, turn that objection into an opportunity to say, yeah, fully understand that. Let's explore the value and the return you're going to get on this solution. And let's look at how you're going to get that over time. Or let's see how we can drive further adoption so you get a higher increase of margin on the tool from an ROI perspective. Also, use an objection as proof that there are multiple opinions. So let's say you're saying, most people feel as though the pandemic was a bad thing. And then somebody says, well, actually, I think it was a good thing because it really benefited this and this and it really brought people together. And you could say, yeah, absolutely. So it highlights the importance of community, but we wouldn't necessarily want to have that via a pandemic, would we? And then you've acknowledged their point, you've agreed with them, but kept your point at the same time. So reframing the objection to support your point can also just add weight to what you've been saying. It's hard to do that on the spot, so use the pause and reflect at the same time as trying to apply a reframing if it's going against what you're saying, and it can really, really help support your argument. I try to use that as much as I possibly can. Third, be honest. Oh, this is huge. Anybody who knows me well knows I have three core pillars to the way I approach things. A triangle, if you like. I don't have a name for it. Probably should name it. The One point of this triangle you would not be surprised to learn is communication. I think communication is key in everything. The second is trust. I think you need trust in order to do anything. You need to be trusted at work. You need to be trusted in your relationship. If you don't have trust, you don't have a lot going on. And the third is passion. And by passion, I mean a drive to succeed. A passion for your relationship is, you know, wanting to be with your other half, wanting to spend the day with them, having, you know, passion for them in a sort of deep-seated way. And the same goes for your work. If you're not passionate about your work, even if it's, you know, a mundane subject, if you're not passionate about it, you just do it half-heartedly. You're not interested in it. Then you might have moved jobs. And when you reflect, you think, oh yeah, I was kind of done there because I wasn't really that into it in the last 6 months, because your passion's dying out, and that's normal and expected. And when you've really got permanent passion for something, that's when it's a keeper, and that can apply to relationships, of course. But I'm thinking professionally. You know, when I'm passionate about my job, I really go above and beyond without even thinking about it. However, trust was a key component there. You want your audience to trust you, whether this is a meeting of 3 people or 3,000 people. They need to trust you, trust what you're saying. You need credibility. If you don't have that, you don't have a lot going on, unfortunately. So, why am I saying all this? Be honest if you don't know. It can have a huge impact. And I've had that, you know, I've been the sort of team lead of my team. And so, you know, it's, oh, Mike always knows. Well, ask Mike, Mike knows. And often I would know, and I should know. I wouldn't be in that position otherwise. But there are, of course, gaps in my own knowledge. And when I say, oh, do you know what? I don't actually know that. Or I didn't know that. That's really interesting. They go, whoa, he admitted he didn't know that. Which means when I next say I do know something, they believe it even more because I admitted I didn't know something else. So they don't think I'm just saying that, you know, I know everything all the time. So be honest. It's okay to admit you don't have an immediate answer. And you can say something like, that's an excellent point. I'll need to come back to you on that. I'll need to research it and come back to you.
From meetings to the stage, this is Communication Studio.
Something else that might happen though is disruptive questions. So a couple of examples here. You're in the middle of a meeting and somebody starts trying to go off on a tangent, and it's really distracting focus from what you're talking about. So maybe you've mentioned something and it's, you know, it's just a point to support your argument. Then you want to move on. It's not the focus. And then they go, oh, actually, the other day we were talking about that subject and we think we should have a project. And you think, whoa, no, we can't go in this direction. Happens all the time. I was once in a demo. We had a strict 60 minutes, and 20 minutes in, a colleague who I don't work with anymore, and I'm not too disappointed about that, interrupted and started a 10-minute conversation on another subject. Just distracted my demo. We were only there for my demo, and they were supposed to be observing, and they interrupted and started chatting for 10 minutes. And I was like, so what am I supposed to do now? We haven't got time for this. And you can't undermine them in the middle of the meeting, right? So it's really, really annoying. So there's situations like that. You could be on stage in front of a large audience, and again, somebody asks a question that's just way off topic. You know, you're talking about the value of your product, and they go, oh, how do you think the US election impacts your business going forward? And you think, eh? What's that got to do with what I'm talking about? But how do you dismiss that without being rude in a way to carry on your presentation or your meeting? Now, my favorite, and again, this does come with practice and confidence. So don't worry if you're not confident doing this. And if you are confident doing this, great. Well done. You've probably practiced it. So it's quite straightforward. You want to redirect the focus. So if they start just, you can do a number of things. One, you could say, sorry, we're on a really tight time schedule here. So appreciate your question. I think it's very valid and it's a really good topic. Let's get in touch after the presentation and go into that in more detail. Or let's book a follow-up call to go through that. Or let's discuss that another day. But that's what you want to do, is try and acknowledge that it's a good point they're making. Now, you might not always think it's a great point, but you can acknowledge it's a good point, to give them that acknowledgement and, you know, give them that attention, for want of a better word, and then say, yeah, let's discuss that another time though, because that's a really important topic and I want to give it the time it deserves. And we have a full agenda now, so let's get on with it. What you don't want to do is let them run away. And I've had this in the past, and the story I just gave is one example where I did let it run away for 10 minutes and regretted it afterwards. So make sure you acknowledge what they've said, their disruption, their interruption, and then agree to discuss it at another time. You're giving them more floor space, you're giving them more time to discuss their very important point to them, and you're able to continue with your presentation.
Level up your presentation game with Communication Studio.
Now, as always on an episode of the Communication Studio podcast, I will give you three quick fixes. Three actionable tips to manage Q&A, disruptions, interruptions effectively. One, anticipate and prepare. This is what politicians do. They brainstorm potential questions and they rehearse responses. So you could use a friend to object and come up with some objections with you and almost heckle you. And then you can come up with appropriate responses. Just do it yourself. Make a list of questions. Now, this is great if you don't have many questions as well. So you can kind of do a fake frequently asked questions yourself. So let's say you're doing a presentation and you'd like some questions from the audience, but they don't actually ask you any questions. It can be a bit awkward. I was talking about this the other day and saying... If you say, so are there any questions? And then they, you know, there's just silence. It can be a bit awkward and it can be perceived negatively that there are no questions to your subject. But actually, is it a negative thing that they don't have any questions? Maybe you were just really clear. So instead, either have some example questions available to use or have some in the back of your mind in case people ask questions and you have the answer. That's where a lot of people go wrong, unfortunately. They don't anticipate questions and it can derail the content they've just delivered because they don't look as well prepared. An example of that could be, you know, you've just delivered a brand new idea. Everyone thinks, oh, this looks really good. This looks really good. And then somebody asks a question about it and you think, oh, yeah, oh, I hadn't thought of that. I don't think it's as good anymore. That's a really good point. And now you've just lost all that credibility, all that excitement you built up. It's all gone. So anticipate questions and prepare them. Come up with a list. Try and imagine what other people would ask. And if you're struggling with that, like I say, use a friend, a colleague, somebody who objects a lot would be great. Somebody who loves to ask a question or interrupt, just run it past them. It might feel painful to do, but it will save you, you know, having that situation in front of a larger or more important audience. Secondly, here's a nice simple one. Use the yes and technique. So if they've asked you a question, and I mentioned this before, build on their question by saying, yes, yes, definitely. Great question, Derek. And then steer it into a positive direction. So, you know, they can say, oh, well, surely this is going to have a big impact on that, though. And then you say, yes, yes, I'm sure it will. And we'll handle that by doing this. And you're steering their negative objection into a positive way of viewing it from whatever it is you're presenting on. So use the yes and technique to acknowledge what they've said. I mentioned this earlier, acknowledge them, give them that kind of attention and that spotlight rather than arguing against them, and then steer it into a positive direction. And third, practice bridging statements. Similar to the yes and, but a little bit more to it. So have phrases like, oh, that's really interesting, but here's what we want to focus on today. Or yes, great point, Brenda, but for today, we're going to focus just on this side. Or great, Phil, absolutely brilliant point. What we'll do is we'll book a follow-up meeting to discuss that. Today, we're just going to focus on this agenda. So three quick fixes, anticipate and prepare. Use the yes and technique and practice bridging statements.
From meetings to the stage, This is Communication Studio.
Oh, forgot the microphone. And finally, I always like to do a listener lab just to give you an exercise to take away. If you want to work with me on that, that's absolutely brilliant. I do work with people on communication every single week. Firstly, invite listeners to share examples of tough questions they faced. Ask, have you ever had a tough objection? And then if they have a story, listen to it and ask them how they handled it. And maybe they handled it really badly and it's quite a funny story or an embarrassing story or something they regret or something they hope never happens again. That's fine. Learn from that. Or maybe they handled it brilliantly and you're like, wow, I'm going to use that. That's a really good idea. And then use a mentor as well. So if somebody, I spoke about this at the beginning, if there's somebody you work with, know, they're a family member and they're a really good presenter, ask them questions. So specifically to handling the heat, handling interruptions, questions and objections, ask them, say, you know, what if someone challenges me? What if somebody doesn't think I'm credible? What if somebody challenges my expertise? And let's say that does happen to you and you don't have a mentor around. Firstly, acknowledge their concern. So for example, somebody challenges, you know, your expertise on the subject. Why should we listen to you on this? This is unlikely to happen in a massive presentation, but quite likely to happen in a meeting. Firstly, highlight your credibility with facts. So have those facts lined up, have that preparation ready. Say things like, I understand your concern and here's what my experience tells me. And you can also say, well, I'm not the absolute expert, but here's the research I've done. And then, you know, and then say, if you've got additional research or information, please let me know. I'd be all ears. That's why we're having this meeting. So that's handling the heat. Thank you very, very much for listening to me today. I hope it was useful. Practice handling the heat. Anticipate and prepare, acknowledge what they've said, and try to steer it back to your content.
Communication Studio, your guide to presentation success.
Thank you very much for listening to the Communication Studio podcast today. Don't forget to visit us at communicationstudio.co.uk. I have some exciting guests lined up soon, which is amazing. I'm so excited about that. More to follow. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your day. Please let me know if you've listened and you'd like any particular topic covered, or just tell me you've listened. That's lovely as well. And otherwise, enjoy the rest of your day. This has been Communication Studio.
Thanks for tuning in to Communication Studio. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. Join us next time as we unlock more secrets to presenting with confidence. Communication Studio. Your guide to presentation success.